Today is Compassion Sunday. That's the title of my message. I actually took this picture in Africa out in front of a little church that, well, actually it's a good-sized church, but it's just amazing the structures of the church there. Pastor Jesse preached in this church, and is the father of the young man that we're working with in Uganda right now. And this young boy, when I went to take a picture of him, this little girl's like, "Here, look at him," and she's trying to get him to look at me, but just a beautiful little boy, you know, that we know has some trials of life. And, you know, when you get to go and you get to see things like that, it'll really affect your life. So today is Compassion Sunday, and as you've already seen when you came in, we have a child sponsorship program out there with Compassion International, and I'm going to talk more about that towards the end of my message. But why don't we stand and let's read the Word. Today we're going to read out of James chapter 5, verse 20. I took that picture too. That little guy was along a river, and it was at a fish camp on a river, and he just wandered up to me, and I took his picture. He'd, precious little guy, you know. James chapter 1, 25. "But he who works, who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that our hearts be open wide to what you want to say to us today. That, Lord, that we could receive this word, and, Lord, that we would understand pure religion, Father God, that we would not, Lord, be ashamed of what you are speaking into us. Father God, we not be spotted of the world, Father, but Lord, we'd be undefiled in our walk with you, that you'd give us strength today, and Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you for being here with us today. Challenge us, transform us, Lord, build us, Lord, into the men and women of God you created us to be. We thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Pure and undefiled religion. You know, that's the thing that James is telling us that God is looking for, pure and undefiled religion. Now, when we were in Africa in January, we met a lot of orphans. And they told me the reason why there's so many orphans there, they said that because of AIDS, that whole villages of parents have died. And left their kids. They said, you know, a lot of kids only have one parent there because the other one died of AIDS. And it's very real there. You know, here we kind of, you know, don't hear a lot about it. You hear about world organizations and stuff. But here we just think it's a, you know, it's a homosexual thing. But it's a very real thing, you know, because, well, you know, they told me, I mean, they're really upfront with me. They said, you know, because a lot of people don't make money, so, you know, for women to prostitute themselves was a very common thing because they have no way to make money. You know, the pastor, you know, he emailed me this morning. He said, you know, "Can you send me $1,000 to pay for the rent for the church for the next 3 years? He said, they want 3 years rent. And he said, I asked him, I said, "Are you doing this and this and this?" He said, "I am." He says, "But, you know, I sold my motorcycle to pay the rent last time, you know, and it's at the expense, you know, of my family going without food. I don't take any money out of the church, and this is his only thing that he does." And so, I mean, these guys are battling on the front lines to make it, just to survive. And when you look at, you know, what religion really is supposed to be, we're supposed to care about that stuff, amen? And I remember stepping out of the van at that orphanage, and the kids just surround us. I'm one of the first guys out of the van because I was sitting in the front. And the kids just ran and just surrounded me and started hugging me and everything. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. I mean, because they just came in love. And I was looking at pictures because I'm doing I'm a guest speaker at a missions conference coming up at the end of March. So they wanted pictures. And as I was going through pictures, Pastor Jesse, I remember when we gave him all them suitcases and we gave him all the soccer balls and we gave him money that Yolanda and Bob had given us. And we gave him all that money. And then I'm standing there in the middle and it got all these 100 kids around us like this. I said, well, come give me a hug. And man, I got pictures. They just surrounded me and were laughing and I'm laughing and they're just hugging me. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to love on these kids and touch their lives. It was incredible, incredible time. You know, and you know you heard the stories, you know, when we came back, you know, and the little boy that jumped in the van that said, oh, you almost forgot me. You know, he's telling Angela, you almost forgot me. You know, and the lady's standing there going, come on, get out of the van. You know, just your heart just, it aches. You know, and then to, you know, Yolanda, she would just, Ron, you have to do something. I'm like, honey, I can only do so much. You know, I can only give so much. I can only give what we have, you know. And it's just very difficult when you see the need that it just doesn't ever seem to be enough when there's such a great need. It's when you have to leave them that it's hard. You know, I know the first crusade I preached for salvation, it was mostly the kids that came forward for salvation. The next night when I preached on healing, man, all the kids came forward for healing. Me and Pastor Jesse were down there. I'm just hugging these kids, just pulling them in, man, just hugging them, you know, and just praying over them and stuff. It just breaks your heart, you know, because he's, you know, they just need something. They need attention. They need love. They need food. And you know, to see that, it really makes your heart sink. And James, in all of his wisdom that he's imparting to us, gives us an idea of what pure religion is really like. And that's number one. He says, go and see. This little boy touched my heart because he kind of reminds me of one of my grandsons. But go and see. That's what he said in that first verse. He said, or in that last verse, he said, to visit orphans and their widows. It's not even just, you don't have to go to Africa to do that. I had a lady call me today, a lady that I've known in the community, and she called me, well, she called me Friday. She said, Pastor Ron, she says, I'm in Vista Cove. I can't move. Could you just come and sit and listen to me? Could you just come and talk to me? Her name is Betty. She's at Vista Cove. I got RL. I'm like, could you go and just sit and talk? And I'm going to stop by there, maybe even today, just to make time to listen to her. Go and see. Not everybody wants to go and see. Let me tell you, it's really hard to go and see. You might say, I don't have the time or I don't have the money to go and I don't have the calling to go. But I believe the Lord would tell you right here, there is a calling for all of us to go and to visit the orphans and widows. Amen. And it's not easy. You know, so you can't go and see, so we brought it to our parking lot. It's been there. We set it up Thursday. It'll be here on Tuesday. You guys came out and helped set up. Praise God. A number of you have been coming and working and serving. But you can go out there after the service. You put on a headset, as Pastor Rob said. You go into this experience. You're going into where the conditions that this child who is telling you their story of what they've went through. You're walking through that as that person tells you their story. You know, and a lot of us, we don't want to hear the story. We don't want to know what they're going through. You know, how many of us, when we see them commercials about the kids, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, turn it, Yolanda, turn it. Come on, turn it. We don't want to see it. It's hard to deal with because then it puts something on us that we might have to do something. You know, there's a place in China, it's called New Day Creation. Look it up. Look it up online, newdaycreation.com. And it's a special needs orphanage. And Delon and I have visited there many times. But I when I would go down there, I'd help them do things, building things or, you know, fixing things. I'm good at those kind of things. So I would do that there for them. And Delonda would go in with the babies and stuff, you know. But they, you know, because it's a lot easier to work on the outside of the building than it is to go inside and actually see what's happening. The last time when I was in China, I think it was in June I was there, I made an appointment to go there. And I went down and they just kept handing me babies. Here, hold this one. Here, you know, they're just, all the babies were outside. And here, hold this one. And I was holding this little boy. His head was probably 2 to 3 times bigger than it was supposed to be. You know, and I'm just holding him. And it just, so hard. Because your heart is just being wrung out. And it's hard to see it. You know, there's been times where they would bring me down to that orphanage and they would ask me if I would just sit in the room and they would bring me one baby at a time that I would pray for them. They would tell the Chinese people, because not all the Chinese are Christian there, and so they would tell them that I'm a visiting doctor from the U.S. and that I'm going to look at all the babies. And so the head nurse was a Christian, and so she would bring me one baby after another and put them into my arms, and I would sit there and just cry and pray over them. Whew. But even still, I got to come home. I got to leave it. You know, some people when they go and see, they end up staying. And Pastor Jesse, you met that lady on that, or it was you or Fred that met that lady on the boat when we were taking that river tour. And she had gone and see, and she decided to stay. And she built an orphanage in a place where many parents had died of AIDS. And she just committed her life to raising up these kids and stuff. And it's just amazing, that heart of compassion that went out. And let's make that number two. You have to have compassion, amen? It should cause our compassion to see this stuff, to rise to the point that we start doing something about it, amen? You know, and I am. I'm gonna work with Pastor Alfred Hallelujah on how we can help them pay 3 years on their building. You know, how can we, you know, $1,000, it's just $1,000 for 3 years to have a building in China, to have a church, I mean, in Africa. Can't we do that? It should be easy for us, amen? You know, and I'm able to, because of what you guys do, I'm able to go and see. Now, Delonda and I are going to China in April. And one of the things she wants to do is we got to go to New Day. We got to go down there and see. You know, and it's like, okay, we will. Because she has such a compassion on her for those kids that she wants to go. Not that I don't, but I know it's a difficult thing. To build orphanages, to help children every day. The compassion. And I think about when Jesus came to Jerusalem for the final time. As he was riding down, his heart was filled with compassion for the people because he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. And his heart was broken for them because they didn't have anyone to lead them. And he was broken, but he came. He left the comfort of heaven. He left the glory in heaven to come down here for us, amen, so that we would have a chance at eternal life, that we would have a chance to live. Jesus said, I'm going to leave my throne, I'm going to come down to earth, and I'm going to take on everything, the sin and the sickness of this world, and I'm going to put it on me so that the people of this world will have a chance. Jesus had compassion on us, amen? And he is calling us to have compassion too. That we wouldn't just, you know, close an eye to it. I was in a seminar, I don't know, last week, this week, I don't know, one day, and they talked about willful blindness. Willful blindness. Where we know something is wrong, but we close an eye to it. That we just shut it off in our lives. And I think we all have it. We all have things that we shut our eye to. But the great thing about Jesus is he didn't. He didn't shut his eye to us. Him knowing that we were evil, he still said, I'm going to die for you. And the great thing about Jesus is when we found him, he didn't leave us the way we were found. Amen? He forgave us of our sins. He sanctified us. He healed us. He delivered us. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He didn't leave us the way he found us. He had a plan for us. Amen? And I believe that he has a plan for the orphan also. And when we have compassion, it should, on our number three, it should cause us to act. Compassion should cause action, amen? Jesus' compassion caused action to the cross. And he still acts. He sent the Holy Spirit. He still forgives. He still heals. He still delivers. He still loves and cares for us, amen? He is still at work in us. He is still acting out what he believes, amen? And we've been reading through the book of Genesis. You got the new reading card for March, which, you know, starts on Tuesday. I can't believe it's already March. But as we've been reading through the book of Genesis, I got stuck in chapter 11 reading a specific passage over and over and over again. In verse 27, it talks about Terah's descendants. It says, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begat Lot. It's very specific and to the point that Haran begat Lot. And it's amazing that scripture got, that line was put in there. I mean, I know Abram didn't have any kids yet, but God, in his grace, let us know that Haran begat Lot. You know, when I read about Abraham and I read the next couple of chapters, Lot caused Abraham a lot of problems. You know, he was, you know, because it says in the Bible that Abraham was to get up, to leave his family, and to go to Canaan. But yet he brought Lot with him. And Lot, you know, grew in number. His animals. He got a lot of animals and everything. His herd was big, and then his servants and Abraham's servants would fight against each other for land. And finally, Abraham went to Lot and said, "Hey, what land do you want?" And Lot says, "Well, I want this fertile river valley." Abraham says, "It's yours. You take it. We'll go over here." And they separated. And then Lot went into Sodom, you know, and he was in Sodom. And then, you know, some other kings came and they conquered Sodom and they took Lot and his family away. And Abraham had to go to war and fight them and defeat them to get Lot and his family back. You know, Lot was a pain in Abraham. And, you know, and I know I've read it and I've heard people say it before. Abraham should have never took Lot. Haran begat Lot. But it's in verse 28, the next verse. It says, Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Haran died. You know, when I looked at it and I just kept reading it over and over, now I understand why Abraham took Lot. Abraham had the heart of the Father in him, not to leave an orphan behind. He had pure religion in the sense that he didn't leave Lot there to himself. He said, "Come on, man, I'm going to take you, all your issues, and you're coming with me." And I just think that is the heart of our Heavenly Father. He doesn't just want to leave us behind. He doesn't want to leave any behind. He wants everybody to go with him, amen? And Abraham took him, even at the great expense. Abraham stretched himself because I believe, as I said, he had the heart of the Heavenly Father in him to cause him to take Lot with him on the journey they were about to go on. And in the same way, Jesus acted with compassion towards us. at great expense for you and me, Jesus came and did what he did. He came down from heaven and gave his life as a ransom for you and me. So when I read that story in Genesis, man, I have a whole new view this week of what God was really showing us. That heart of compassion. The heart of not leaving anyone behind. And I'm sure, Delonda and I, it's just kind of weird. A couple of weeks ago we were talking and she said, you know what? We're orphans now. And I was like, wow. And I'm sure many of you today are orphans in the sense that you don't have a father and a mother that are alive on this earth. And it was just kind of weird when Delonda said that to me the other day. I was like, wow, we're orphans. But we have a heavenly father who loves us and cares for us more than our earthly parents ever could. Amen? That's the promise. That's the thing we look at. And if we believe in what Jesus did with all of our heart, and with our mind, we'll receive everything that Jesus has for us because he had that compassion and he acted on it. And today we have the opportunity to act on our compassion. Today, as I said, is Compassion Sunday. That's the picture of the trailer. That's, ours isn't exactly like that, but it's out in the parking lot and it says, change the story. We have the opportunity to change somebody's story today. Christian churches across the country are speaking out and sharing their story of child sponsorship on behalf of the children living in poverty who are waiting. I have, I grabbed this one, Danny. It's in South America, but the young girl's name is Damaris. I thought, wow, Damaris Michelle Vargas Chica from Ecuador. Luis Javier del Carmen Mendez from Central America. Hishik Tudu from Asia. He's in India. And Jeremy Kokouvi Ogunandan from Togo. These are just four of the sponsorships that I grabbed off the table before I came in here. And these are four kids that need help. I want to show you a video for a minute about a young person when they received a letter of their sponsorship.
Tidak bisa menentukan juga, tapi sebagai orang tua kami juga tidak mampu untuk melayani yang pasti bersandar kepada Tuhan waktu itu. Tetapi saya lebih memilih ketika pendekatan oleh gereja untuk melayani anak-anak, dan di situ saya lihat kemuliaan Tuhan bahwa lebih luar biasa kita melayani anak-anak daripada kita memikirkan hal-hal duniawi.
It's probably just buffering.
Walaupun bikin rumah. itu beban banyak karena arisan ya kita, tapi belum tutup sama sekali arisan ini. Dan saya terus pasti bilang, jangan terus mama, saya lega pikiran, saya bilang cium sama anak, pasti bilang sama saya. Dan saya cium sama dia, saya bilang saya tidak terus sekarang, saya aman-aman sekarang.
Saya di PPA paling suka buku cerita karena rajin membaca.
Berikan kepada mereka. Terlebih lagi Helena itu anaknya, kalau saya lihat selama saya mengajar, anaknya pintar dan priang, ceria dan sering tidak bolos masuk PPA.
Pertama, saya merasa bangga sekali, Pak, karena proses perubahan kita melihat dari penampilan mereka. Karena apa yang kami lakukan bukan hanya dengan kata-kata, tapi perbuatan nyata.
Baik, terima kasih. Fungsi papan data anak untuk mengetahui anak-anak yang terdaftar di PPA, berapa seluruhnya, berapa yang dapat sponsor, dan berapa yang belum punya sponsor.
Waktu teman dapat sponsor, saya sakit hati karena tidak dapat sponsor.
Dia kasih tahu sama saya bagaimana saya mama anak-anak yang lain sudah dapat sponsor, saya belum dapat. Dan saya mama berdoa juga, tapi saya tidak pernah dapat mama. Tunggu anak, tidak mungkin. Nanti Tuhan yang atur anak. Saya bilang begitu sama dia.
Tiga, empat bulan ke depan, bahwa anak-anak ini akan memiliki sponsor melalui tangan-tangan Tuhan untuk menjamah hati para yang punya, yang bisa peduli kepada anak. Tuhan akan memberikan yang terbaik buat keluarga ini. Ada sukacita, Asti, keluarganya Asti mendapat sponsor, dan ini surat dari sponsor yang buat Asti.
Kasih banyak bawa anak saya, baik saya kasih masuk PTA. Saya hari ini saya bangga sekali, tapi Tuhan yang balas. Saya tidak mampu balas, tapi Tuhan yang balas. Tidak pernah saya mimpi bahwa sponsornya api hari ini, tapi saya bangga sekali sehingga saya jatuh air mata. Terima kasih banyak, berlimpah-limpah.
Mereka, anak-anak itu merasa dekat dengan sponsornya, dan jadi ketika mereka menceritakan isi surat seperti itu, anak-anak merasa luar biasa bahwa itu tidak bisa dibayangin seperti itu.
Asti, nama kuri ini senang menjadi sponsormu.
Mungkin pikirnya ya sekedar komunikasi saja, tetapi lebih daripada itu, kedekatannya lebih dekat sekali. Dan saya berterima kasih kepada Tuhan yang bisa memberikan sponsor kepada anak sebagai anak dan bapak. Dan saya berterima kasih kepada Compassion sebagai jembatan yang dapat menghubungkan yang ada di seberang, bisa menjadi satu. Itu kebanggaan saya, dan saya merasa senang sekali.
Did you see how much it meant to her when she opened that letter? When even to the parents, the help that come from somebody that gave. Can you imagine a child living in poverty just calling you mom or dad? You know, and that's what it's like to them. Like, I've got another set of parents somewhere around the world. And our love, our prayers, our letters, the impact of sponsorship, it's real. And, you know, I just was driving here today, and I said, Lord, I want to sponsor a child today. And, you know, but Lord, you know, there's money, things are tight, you know. And so he showed me something in my life that I can cut out. And it's almost the price of a sponsorship of a child. The sponsor a child is $38 a month. It's tax deductible, and it connects a child living in poverty with a loving, church-based child sponsorship program. Your support involves medical checkups, which often save lives, nutritious food, health and hygiene training, educational assistance, access to special services like surgeries and disaster relief, mentoring to help children discover their incredible value as God's children, and most important of all, your sponsored child will hear about Jesus Christ and be encouraged to develop a lifelong relationship with God. When you sponsor a child, you receive a child's photo, the personal story, and a child sponsorship packet by mail in approximately 10 days. And so when children find out they've been sponsored, you see the joy that comes from it. And sponsoring a child in need will profoundly change the future of that child. And I know, you know, we do a lot around the world, and we're trying to do more as a church. And I know Pastor Jesse just sent money to an orphan in Africa and paid for her school uniforms and her school fees for the year. Through the ministry that Bob and Yolanda do, the Christmas trees that Yolanda sets up around the Inland Empire and the money that she raised, there was 30 students that got uniforms and get to go to school this year because that little church in Uganda, New Hope Family Worship Center Uganda, sponsors those 30 kids and has enrolled them in their little program they're doing. Compassion International is worldwide. They're all around the world. Like I said, I have one from a little boy in India right here. This guy is from the Dominican Republic. This Don Maurice is from Ecuador. And this little guy, Jeremy, is from Togo. And there's more out on the table out there. And there's a lady there to help you to find a name and find a person so that you could be a part of it. I know, you know, times are tough, and $38 a month can be a lot. But we're going to go, we're going to cancel our gym membership this week, and we'll just work out on our own, and that'll give us almost enough money just to pay that sponsorship. There's things in our life that we can do without. And just think about this. Think about what Jesus did for us. He left the throne of heaven to come down for us to help a child. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just give you praise today. I thank you for the compassion that you have for each one of us. I am so grateful, Father, that, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, to take all of our sin and sickness to the cross. And Lord, today we're here hearing about compassion, Lord, compassion for the children, Lord, for those that don't have, those that are so bound in poverty, Father God, that, Lord, that they don't have hope for their future. They don't have that joy, Father God. And I pray that you would touch our hearts today, Lord, to step out into that. And Lord, today I pray that if there's anyone here who has not experienced the compassion of God into salvation, that, Lord, there'd be a surrendering here. Is there anybody here today that says, I need to make a commitment to Jesus today because of what he's done for me? Anybody here today? Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Father, you see that man. I pray that, Lord, that you just fill him today. Lord, that your forgiveness and love would flow from your throne and you just touch him right now. Wash him and cleanse him, Father God, and set his feet upon the rock. That, Lord, that today is a new beginning in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray for these children today. We pray, Father God, that today would be a new beginning for them also. That, Lord, that you would show us, Lord, the way to help them. Lord, you've given us a tool today to pick up. And I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to the hearts of every person here about this. And, Lord, that we could share together in the days ahead of the child that we're sponsoring. So, Father, I pray today that as we leave, that, Lord, that you'd show us and you'd speak to us about what to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. I know it's kind of a heavy thing today. My heart was, I didn't watch that video before I showed it to you today. I sat here and cried through the whole thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too much. And it is a lot. And it's meant to tug on your heart today. So as you get up and leave, greet somebody, love on somebody, but stop by the compassion table in the foyer.